McDonald has got the juiciest scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. So much juicy stuff going on. Let's get into it. Well, Kravis finally got married for the third time. You know, the first one was in Vegas. That wasn't a real wedding. The second one was in Santa Barbara. That was a real wedding. And so they were already married. And then they had the big Italian wedding. And throughout the weekend, we got to see the family and all their outfits. It was sponsored by Dolce & Gabbana. Everybody wore everything Dolce. And that included the first night when they went on like a yacht trip, and then the rehearsal dinner, I think, or like, you know, a party like that. And that's when she was wearing the black dress. That was a short black dress with the veil. I don't know if I have that one. And then for the actual wedding, she wore the exact same type of short corset, like lingerie, white, like a virgin type of dress with a long, beautiful veil. And the theme was like the Virgin Mary. So she had a big Virgin Mary veil on. And Page Six Style is saying Kourtney Kardashian's wedding veil had a nod to Travis Barker's head tattoo. I did not realize that one of his tattoos was that of the Virgin Mary holding the baby. So the altar, too, normally a Catholic altar has a crucifix. This was outside. It was not at a church in a beautiful setting, but all very Catholic, and instead of having a crucifix, it was a statue of Mary holding baby Jesus. So I guess he was Catholic. I know that Kourtney went to Marymount, which is an all-girl Catholic high school, but it's just interesting that when it comes to the wedding, they're like, let's just go full old-school Italian Dolce & Gabbana and, like, really get into the Catholic thing. All of them were wearing big cross necklaces. So I have a... So, yeah, here's his head tattoo, which is Mary. Very nice. Kourtney went on the yacht in these high, high spiky boots, which is not yachting shoes. But, you know, she was posting all her good looks. Kim is blonde still from wearing Marilyn's dress. And she was wearing the black, and she was with North. And North was wearing, like, corsets over her clothes. Rain, however, really killed it. That's Kourtney's younger son. He looked so cute. For a long time, he had a man bun. He has cut his hair. He wore little boy shorts, dress shorts, with a tux jacket and tie. He looked so cute. I've not seen any photos of Mason. Some people were concerned if Mason attended. We have not seen photos. Chris was there looking beautiful in like a blushy pink outfit at the wedding. Chloe wore this big like Dolce, like, I guess it's Dolce & Gabbana, like, hat thing. And I guess Beyonce had worn something similar. I don't know. So anyway, a lot of criticism was about the fact that Kourtney wore this really short dress that was basically a bodysuit with, like, lace over it. So you could kind of see, like, the whole part of her thigh as well as it being a super small mini. I think, you know what? I think she chose this wedding look because that is what Travis is into. They're super sexual together. He's always grabbing her. He was like that with Shanna Mokler, too. I think that's his love language. I think he's very affectionate. I saw a TikTok of him and Shanna Mokler getting their marriage license on Meet the Barkers. And I don't mean to be disrespectful in bringing up his former love, but we also have a million hours of footage of Kourtney with Scott Disick. So it's like, they're both in the reality show world. You put everything and they're going to come back. And so people were like, wow, he acts just the way he did with Shanna as he did with Kourtney. But some people, when they're in relationships, have a certain love language. And his is super hands-on, PDA, affectionate. She seems to really like it. And I think because he's so sexual with her, I think that he was like, I love your legs. I love your body. I want to see that. And I think she wanted to go completely different than what Kim has done for her other weddings. and what Chloe did for her wedding with Lamar, and she just wanted to make it her own. And I like the mini 60s look. It was pretty skimpy, but who cares? I mean, I thought it was cool, and I loved the long veil. I loved all the Catholic stuff. Oh, here is the black dress that she wore like the night before with a black and blue veil. And it was a super cute outfit for like Halloween. Like if you're going like sexy goth bride Halloween, this would be like one of those hot outfits where you're like, I can dress like a slut. It's Halloween. But this is what she wore for her rehearsal dinner. And then page six reminded us that Kim wore a very similar dress with, again, this is like, Mary is like basically killing it right now. Like she is so in right now, Virgin Mary. And so the Virgin Mary, again, emblem on the middle of the, so that was just very in look. Kylie was there with Stormy and she looked really pretty. So they all wore like vintage Dolce dresses throughout the weekend. And it got some criticism. A lot of people were just like, I'm happy for you. You look beautiful. I do think this is a beautiful location to get married. I, of course, had to get married in the church because that's otherwise it didn't count, I guess, with God, according to my parents. And it was an hour and a half long. And I still want to apologize for the people that had to sit through that hour and a half mass. Okay. Let's see. Oh, so Penelope was there, her daughter, and she looked really pretty. So I guess she was like a flower girl, a bridesmaid. And so was his daughter, Alabama. And then this photo came up. This is from my family, Jeannie. And it was Courtney, her high school photo, which basically she looks exactly the same. Because at 43, she has a very youthful face and she hasn't had any work done or very little. So she looks like the same. And then Travis, that just looks like it's like your average little skinny white kid with like long hair. And it's just kind of interesting. Like all these years later, it's like a million tattoos, shaved head, Madonna on the back, or, you know, the real Madonna. That's not Madonna. Madonna, like Virgin Mary Madonna on the back of his head. And, you know, there was just a time when they were just two dorks in the 90s, early 90s. Or, yeah, that would have been it. They would have graduated in the 90s, probably, or late 80s. Speaking of which, Jolie Fletcher, they did finally get married. I kind of feel bitchy because I saw another video and I'm like, when are you guys going to get married? But I guess it had been postponed for 2 years. They got married this weekend too. And her wedding dress and everything was very traditional and actually really gorgeous. Okay, now let me just update you on the trial. The Johnny versus Amber trial. I'm reading all your comments, by the way, okay? And some people were so upset that I'm not 100% Team Johnny. And they're like, you don't realize that Amber has been caught in this and this lie. I just want to say, I have not watched every second of the trial. I've watched a lot of it. I've read a lot about it. I'm very aware of it. I also am very well-versed in defamation lawsuits, which that is what this is. It's not who's telling the truth, and if there's going to be a mistrial. There's not going to be a mistrial for a civil defamation lawsuit. We're going to get through it, and the jury, which I didn't realize it's, I guess it's only 7 people when it's a civil case, but they will decide who they believe is in the right and if deserves any money. He's suing for 50, she's countersuing for 100 million. So this is what I think in general. I've told you what I think. I think that they will come to the conclusion that neither really gets anything. Maybe they'll side with Johnny, but he will only get a little bit of money. That is my prediction. That's what I'm sticking with. I don't think it's going to be this big windfall, and we all believe that Amber's lied about everything. I do believe that she's lied about some things, and I think that he's lied about some things. Or I think that being that he's was a drug addict, alcoholic, using all different kinds of drugs, which he's admitted to for the last 30, 40 years, I don't know how well you can remember everything. You know, I remember reading like memoirs about people that were like full-on drug addicts, and I'd be reading this thing, and it's like, and then after a 4-day heroin binge, I did this, this, and this. I'm like, how do you remember what you did after a 4-day heroin binge? I'm just saying, you know, he's very likable, and it's crazy. This one woman was in the courthouse today. The cameras weren't there, so they didn't get it. But there was like a little lull and the cameras were down, and she stood up with her baby. She had a baby in the courtroom. She'd been waiting there since 1 a.m. with her baby to get her little wristband to be in the courtroom. And she yelled, "I love you, Johnny." And he's like, she's like, this baby's yours. And they're like, okay, you're out of here. And then later on, she's like, oh, my husband and I thought it'd be funny if I waited here all night, got in the courtroom, and then said that he's the baby daddy. So there's some hardcore fans of Johnny Depp, and I get it. And some of you might be watching and listening to this and, like, annoyed that I'm not anything but 100% Johnny Depp is the greatest person that ever walked the earth. But I like really seeing both sides. That's why we have this system. That's why her people are talking as well. But yes, has she said a lot of things? Has she said things where she's answering questions where they're like, and then what did Johnny do? And then she's like, well, she would like start telling the story about his abuse, but using the word I, because we've listened to the audio. We know that she has verbally abused him, and we know that she has physically hit him. She says that. So we know that that's the case. Is the jury going to sit back there after 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it's been, and been like, look, this was an awful couple that hit each other and verbally abused each other. And was she hitting him back? Was she finally standing up for herself? Isn't it awful to ever be? I think most people have dealt with an addict of some sort in their life, or an alcoholic, or someone that's drank too much. We've all been there, and it's not fun being the spouse to that. But this is what's come since I've spoken last. Ellen Barkin, who was his girlfriend, she said she corrected herself. She's like, it wasn't a romantic relationship. It was a sexual relationship. They were in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas together. And she's 10 years his senior. This is them, Ellen and Johnny, in the 90s. They dated for a few months in the 90s. She did a testimony back in November of 2019, a deposition which they shared. And she said that he seemed like he was frequently drunk or high or had a joint or something. He did get angry about something. He was either fighting with an assistant or someone, and he threw a wine bottle towards her. I don't know if he meant to hit her, but he did throw a wine bottle. He threw a wine bottle. That's his thing. And it was red wine. You know, if someone was going to say, you know, and Heather had a Chardonnay, you'd be like, that tracks. If you're like, and then Heather had a gin and tonic, you'd be like, I've never heard her mention gin before. Well, he always just drinking red wine. He has thrown wine bottles. Lots of people have said that he's thrown wine bottles. Well, in the 90s with Ellen Barkin, he threw them then too. She also said that he was very jealous. He was always like, where are you going? What are you doing? Who are you with? And she had a scratch on her back, and he was convinced that scratch came from wild sex with somebody else. So he accused her of cheating. These are all things that track with what Amber has told, what Amber's friends have told about her relationship with Johnny. Just saying. And then Johnny's agent also was interviewed. This woman was his agent for 30 years. And she said he was frequently late on set, late for like hours. Yes, he'd be lovely to the crew and the crew all liked him. But when the crew had to wait for 5 hours for him to be on set, when his call time was 5 hours previous, then they didn't love him so much. People in Hollywood talk, and he was getting a reputation that he was difficult to work with. He couldn't remember his lines. Oftentimes when a psychiatrist spoke on this today, people that are using a lot, the next day their memory isn't as sharp. I mean, I know that sometimes if I'm a little hungover, I'm not as quick. So certainly someone who is in their 50s and abused for that much, they're not going to be as quick as he is right now. He's probably been sober this whole trial. And I mean, I don't know, you guys probably know how long he's been sober, but I'm assuming, you know, this is him at his best, what we've seen. So she said he was getting a bad reputation, and he had to do the earpiece because he couldn't remember the lines. And she said, you're really hurting yourself in acting like this. He then fired her, and that was it. So I saw the comments, and people were like, oh, maybe she's now speaking on behalf of the defense because he fired her. Well, 30 years in the business, she knows what she was up against in trying to get him jobs. And she tried to warn him with his behavior. He was older. He maybe was becoming difficult to insure. He couldn't remember his lines. As people get older, men, especially women, but men, their parts aren't as abundant. Now, Amber also had an entertainment consultant that also went on the stand. And this woman, I don't really know what that means because I just read it. I didn't watch the testimony. But she said that that they felt the what she was made aware of is that the character of Jack Sparrow had run its course. So they're setting the stage so that the jury goes back and says, this article that Amber wrote in which she did not name Johnny Depp, but it was pretty clear that people could figure out that she was saying, I'm a victim of domestic violence of this relationship. They figured out the years. But they're saying that is not what caused his career to go down. Therefore, we do not think that she should have to pay him money for that. Or we do believe that this is what caused it. So obviously her people are trying to make the jury believe that there's other reasons why these parts dried up for him. Also coming soon is going to be Kate Moss. Remember, she brought up Kate Moss, Amber did, in talking about saying, oh, I heard that there was something where he pushed Kate Moss down the stairs. So Kate Moss is going to come, and his people are very excited about that because they, even though they trashed some hotel rooms together and stuff, that they have a great relationship, and so therefore she most likely will speak very highly of him and crush that story that Amber was trying to get out there when she was on the stand that might have been abusive to Kate Moss. So she's coming on. Also, a Warner Brothers executive is going to take the stand, and he is going to say that Aquaman, in which she's in, he's probably going to say, I read this, that he assumed that he'll say, no, you know, what we've heard about Amber and this whole big mess did not affect Hollywood in hiring her or Aquaman executives in hiring her. And we still think she's great. Well, of course they're going to say that, because if they don't, it makes them look bad. That's not fair that someone's personal life could keep them from getting a job. So it's just going to be a lot for the jury to really say, was this defamation? Did she have a right to say it? And if it was defamation, did it really affect his career for $50 million? That is what it's handled. It's not how he really cut his finger. That's being talked about again. He said she threw a bottle at him. It cut his finger like a guillotine. Then he went to protect her and said, I cut it myself. They spoke to the doctor. The doctor was on the stand. He said he came to me to fix his hand. And he said it got caught in the door jamb, which is what he believes made the most sense. Of those three scenarios, he said, a door jamb, this is what it looks like when it's in a door jamb, but I can't say for sure how he got this. When he told me it, I believed it. The hand injury is the biggest, because that's the only real physical abuse that he can say happened at her hands in which I was hurt. Now, we know that she hit him, because she said that. But she's presenting all this stuff of bruises and things, which people don't know if they're those exact days or the next day. And all of that, what we've gone through before, has been definitely some holes and don't really add up. But does the jury believe that he was a victim of her, that he is a domestic violence victim? Or do they just think they both hit each other, they both said shit about each other, and therefore, because they were both hitting each other, they're both victims of domestic violence, and they're both perpetrators of, and they're both the domestic violence attackers, or whatever you would call it. Like, they're both victims, and they are both guilty of it themselves. That's what I think. I think they're both guilty of both. People are going to get so mad at me. The pirates are going to come after me. I'm just saying, like, just imagine if you've been there for six weeks and you have to make this decision. It's about the defamation, not which actor you like more or not. Courtney Love also said, oh, Johnny Depp is the greatest. In 1995, I OD'd somewhere and he helped me. I don't really think that's the greatest story to get out there. You know, like another person who frequently used drugs and alcohol happened to be hanging out with Courtney Love and he saved Courtney Love, and therefore he's a sweetheart. I mean, I hope he would. If you saw someone ODing, I mean, are you just going to step over them? I mean, especially if you know them. Anyway, so there we go with all of that. Update on the Dave Chappelle attacker. Couple things. They realized that in December, he attacked his roommate with a knife and stabbed him. So they didn't know who did this, but once they arrested him for the Dave Chappelle thing, they realized, oh, this is the guy we were looking for that stabbed this guy in like a transitional living house. So he's also up for attempted murder. But now his defense is completely different than what he said before. After he jumped up on stage and attacked Dave Chappelle with a fake gun and knife, Dave Chappelle said he spoke to him a bit and he said, my grandmother is so upset that her neighborhood in Brooklyn is being gentrified. That's why I'm here attacking you to bring eyes to this. And he's like, well, I don't know what you want me to do about that, but, you know, good luck. So he gets arrested, right? That was his defense, that it was that. Now he's saying, so now this will be his defense, that he was triggered by Dave Chappelle's LGBTQ jokes and jokes about, you know, and stories about his interactions with a trans woman. And so he said, I was triggered by that. I was also triggered by, because I'm bisexual, and I'm also triggered about his material about homelessness, because I was homeless at one time, and I have a 5-year-old son. And also there was his opener had a joke about a pedophile, and I was also a victim of pedophilia. So it was all those jokes combined that then triggered me to make me jump on stage and use this fake gun with a knife on the end of it. Okay, so you're a homeless person, but you managed to get a ticket, like a really good ticket at this event that was not free. And you didn't plan it because you didn't know what kind of jokes he was going to say. But you just, in case he said jokes that triggered you, you had a gun with a fake gun with a knife at the end. Anyway, I don't know if this is his idea or his public defender's idea or whatever to say that now he attacked because he's triggered because of jokes. And being the way our DA is, it probably will work. And now anyone can attack any comedian if you don't like the joke because you're triggered and because you had a shitty childhood and because you're not killing it in life today. And someone might have joked about that. I mean, that is just insane. Brittany was off again on the Instagram. She's wearing her brown pumps. She is now talking. She's obviously listening to Juicy Scoop because I said we don't hear her talk anymore. Well, she talked a lot. She did a whole nother video, brought back her characters, sessions with Ashley, who is this awful therapist that apparently she went to. Then she twirled around. She said, go to Six Flags. A lot of things didn't make sense after the skit. But again, Britney fans, I agree. This is her outlet. Let her be free. People are like, who's running this? No one's running it. No one is running it. She's running it. She's free. She can do her own Instagram, and it's going to be some nudes. It's going to be some cups of coffee. It's going to be photos of her brown pumps. It's going to be her spinning. It's going to be other little viral videos that she finds. That's it. Then she went to Vegas to Resort World, which was nice because she said she never could have fun when she was performing in Vegas. Someone treated her there. She took a bunch of photos there. She was with Sam. And, you know, it looked like she had a good time. So there you go. Thanks for listening, Brittany. Oh, Ramona Singer, this was amazing. Justin Anderson saw this on her story and posted it. And a lot of other people have shared it since. But Ramona was at a wedding. And she's like, so I'm at a wedding. And I just met the most beautiful girl. She's the sister of the bride. And I want to come over here. And she has the phone. And she's like, can you just tell everybody what you said to me? And the woman's like, well, I just wanted to say that Ramona is such an inspiration and really gets me through some hard times. You know what? It really means so much to me because I've always known I was an inspiration. And don't believe everything you see on TV. Exactly. Thanks so much. You know what? That's what I know. I know I support women. I know I inspire women. And here is one that's saying it. Everyone's like, oh, my God. I mean, I don't mean to toot my own horn, but if I shared every time someone came up to me, you'd be like, well, I wouldn't because it's a moment between myself and the listener or the fan. It's so Ramona. I love it. I also love that she recently did a post about Jill's Aaron's rug and she's rugs. And she said, I love it because if my dog makes a mess or if I make a mess on the rug. And we all thought that was really funny because we've all seen the episodes where she actually has like shit herself and it's like fallen. So, but I think she meant like if she spilled some wine or something, then like, I don't think she meant that kind of like amber turd mess. I think she just meant like, anyway, she's never changing. That's the good news, you guys. Ramona is never changing and we will have so many more moments like this to look forward to. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is on and oh my God, there's lots of gossip going on. Sutton and Lisa Rinna got into it over the Elton John thing. I still don't know if Sutton bought the tickets. I believe Lisa Rinna has never paid for a ticket to Elton John. I believe that she always got to go as his guest, as a celebrity who then would post and share and talk about the charity. Sutton was not a celebrity. She always bought a ticket. Sutton invited Lisa to sit at her table and therefore paid for a ticket. That's all the truth. And I don't really understand the controversy. But now Lisa Rinna is, according to Bravo Snark, someone has gotten some DMs from her and she has been sharing all this stuff about why she is not getting along with Kathy Hilton. It explains why Kathy Hilton wasn't on a lot of the season. Anyway, it's all adding to wanting to watch it a lot. Again, people are talking about, is Dorit, you know, people are thinking about Dorit's robbery because it showed up late last week, the police report. And in the police report, it did not mention that these robbers or burglars were armed. I talked to an LAPD officer that I know, and I asked about that. And he said, sometimes in these things, they just didn't include it, not for any particular reason. They may have forgotten. But chances are that people are breaking into homes, 99% of the time they are armed. And they're very hard to catch these people, and they usually don't catch them until someone gets caught for something else and flips, or they get caught for another crime, and then they match the DNA and find it. So that is why these people haven't been caught. Again, I'm still going to say, I do not think Dorit or PK made up this robbery. I think there's things that don't make sense, but also being robbed at this time of your goods in your home has been happening, unfortunately. So now, everybody remember to go to heathermcdonald.net, get your tickets for June 17th. I will be at the Krug Winery with Justin Martindale, maybe another special guest too, but you got to get your tickets. It's 5:30 and 8:30. There's a meet and greet in between. And you can get all that at heathermcdonald.net and join Patreon as well. And now for a very juicy interview I did. It's a lot of juicy scoop history. I am talking to two guys that are former paparazzi TMZ guys who started their own very popular show, Hollywood Raw. So please welcome Dax and Adam from Hollywood Raw. Well, people are out and about. They're joining the gym again. But the same thing that happened before the pandemic is happening now. You know what that is. You got there late. You couldn't find parking. You're frustrated. You didn't sign up for the class in time. There's no spot for you. And now there's no workout for you. Well, that never happens when you have a Peloton. It's the one thing I still love doing from home. And I love it because whether I've got 15 minutes or 45 minutes, Peloton has thousands of live and on-demand classes, always keeping it so fresh. I love that there's other juicy scoopers on there that I can find what fun rides they're doing. I love my favorite instructor, Cody Rigsby. And there's so many fun, inspiring, outgoing people that really keep it fresh and keep you motivated. And from cycling and strength training to yoga and running, they have it all. You can utilize these different exercises and movement classes on the app. So right now is the best time. Right now is the perfect time to try out Peloton. Peloton bike is now $500 less, its best price yet, including free delivery and setup. And there are more game-changing prices available on the original Peloton bike and Peloton tread. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I've got the behind the Hollywood juice. From the podcast Hollywood Raw, I have Dax Holt, Adam Glenn. I'm saying it right?
You're saying it right. How you doing?
And you got cute dimples. Nice to see you again.
Thank you.
I know you guys have done your show, and we just want to get into some like juicy scoop history. You guys are, tell us about your background, because you are still a paparazzi person.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. I call myself a street journalist. And it's honestly the same thing as paparazzi, but like you said, sexy. But it's just way too – the word paparazzi is just not the most prettiest term. So I call myself a journalist because I don't feel like a paparazzi. For the stuff I do, for the content I get, I'm trying to get sound bites. But it's more of like not much dirt. It's more of like trying to have a fun conversation. For example, like as you know, if I reached out to – Oprah's people, if I reached out to Adam Sandler's people, if I reached out to Brad Pitt's people and said, hey, I want to interview them. As you know, the first person picking up the phone would say, sorry, we're not interested, click and hang up the phone. But I realized if I get to them, if I find them, they will talk to me. And that's what I do is I run around New York City. I'm based in New York City. And I run around trying to cross paths with celebrities. And once I do, I try to have a fun, engaging interview. And then what I do is I monetize it by licensing it to different media outlets around the world.
Okay. So you're just like you're independent.
I'm independent
for
sure. I'm not with TMZ. I was with TMZ. So my backstory, I was with TMZ for years. I'm a stand-up comic. Went to school for PR. Couldn't get a job anywhere. Went back to school. Got my teaching certification. Couldn't get a job anywhere. And then in 2009, I did a show in New York City as a stand-up comic. Someone in the crowd said, you seem funny, not threatening. You know pop culture. Would you be interested in a job at TMZ? I said, listen, I'll do anything for health insurance. The next day, pretty much, like they introduced me to someone. Got a job at TMZ and they threw a camera in my hand. They said, let's see what you could do. They gave me a 2-week contract. In 2 weeks, I had two interviews. I didn't get arrested. And then they offered me a 3-year contract. And then that's been, you know, I started with TMZ, worked there for over 7 years. And now I'm on my own, run around the streets of New York City doing celebrity interviews.
When did you and Dax fall in love?
Let's see. When did we fall in love?
Yeah.
No. So I'd say we both kind of left TMZ.
Let me clarify. You guys are not a couple.
No.
No. I mean, we would be a cute couple. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
No. We both left TMZ kind of around the same time, maybe a year apart or so. We didn't even really talk when we were at TMZ. We weren't friends. We just kind of knew of each other. And then afterwards, you know, this podcast opportunity came up and we decided, you know what? We're both good. We like to talk. We like to talk. We got good stories. Let's join forces and make this podcast. And that's kind of honestly when we started. Now we talk 5 times a day.
Yeah. We just start brewing. I mean, we have different backgrounds. Dax's role at TMZ was to, you know, go through all the photography agencies, all the paparazzi agencies, see the photos before they get to the public. So he had to basically determine as the photo editor.
It was the most voyeuristic job you could ever imagine, constantly going through all these websites. I mean, you're seeing every photo that people would like to see before they're edited, before they're blurred, before they're black barred, everything. It was really fun.
I have a question. Being that Lisa Rinna is being sued for like $1 million-something money because she apparently threw up a photo of herself that was taken by someone else on Instagram, which I kind of this, you know, I want to know the rules for people like me and other people. What, you know, I think people, I don't think that was an intent where she was trying to screw over this photographer. But like, if something like that happens and, you know, and there's like, before it gets to a lawsuit thing, what is the person supposed to do? Find that photographer and immediately be like, what do I need to do to buy this? Like,
my suggestion, especially if it's a big celeb, find out who took it, whatever agency it's from, and tag the agency. You're more likely to not get in trouble if you tag the agency, give them some kind of credit, give them a photo credit tag, whatever it is. I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying you're less likely to get a lawsuit because you got to realize, like, that is their business. Their business is to make money off photographs. So if they see their photo come up and they know that you didn't license, you didn't talk to them, they're most likely going to come after you to get money. So, and like, it might be some crazy amount because they know they're not going to get that amount. They're going to get something less.
Okay, so let's say you go on the red carpet doing something, and the next day I go to Getty and I look up Heather McDonald and I'm like, I really like this photo. Mm-hmm. And it's like, whatever, $450. But wouldn't I have to the proper thing to do is to buy that photo for $450 so I own it.
You license it technically. You don't even own it. You're licensing it.
So I license it for, and then I can put it on my Instagram. Yep.
Or if you want to just try to be nice and try to play cool with the photographer, usually the photographer's name's below it, reach out to them. Say, hey, listen, would you mind if I use this photo? I'll tag you. I mean, celebrities will reach out to photographers, paparazzi all the time and say, hey, listen, would you mind if I post this photo? I'll tag you. Majority of the photographers will say, yeah, that's cool. Thanks, because they don't mind. They appreciate you actually asking rather
right,
than taking.
That's what, yeah.
Because if you just put the photo on Instagram, then an outlet could take that photo from Instagram and say, hey, we just got it from Instagram. It's sort of like, do you understand?
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Okay. So, yeah,
you're working the system and you'll notice like.
But also, it's like you're not supposed to have the Getty image watermark, right?
No. Or you're technically stealing the photo.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But like you'll notice like the Kardashians, they used to steal all the time, put up these photos and they'd be like, well, what the heck? This is my image that you're using to make money. I should be able to post my own image. It unfortunately doesn't work that way. And so they got in trouble enough that now you'll notice they tag, they credit, they got slapped on the wrist, and they'll give the little credits.
Yeah.
Someone just DM'd me and was like, have you noticed that now Kylie is only using her own photographers? She's bringing her photographers everywhere. I mean, I don't think she could control the Met Ball steps, but like – I think that's why she didn't go to, this is what this person said, that's why she didn't go to the Hulu premiere. Like, she, I think, wants to have more control, I guess.
Well, there's a lot of big stars that will have their own photographer that follows them around, takes pictures, and they will then give those photos to the agencies.
Oh, okay.
And so, technically, they own the rights to them, but then they can still be distributed out throughout all of the websites, the magazines, and they control the narrative.
They can also make sure the photo looks good. They can filter a little bit.
You know, airbrush some of the stuff.
Right. Yeah.
But actually, as photographers, coming from the photographer's point of view, they hope that a brand takes their photo without letting them know, because that actually is like more money. Like they could – there's – companies like Ocularity and like lawyers type think that they look online for people who use their content without the permission, and they hope that a brand takes their photo without asking them, because then I can actually charge them double and make more money than that. So it's a wild thing, but that's just what it's come down to now with social media and the photos getting out there.
All right. I want to ask you about some of the juicy interviews that you've done. I remember hearing that one with Larsa.
Oh, that was a good. That was a good interview.
And Larsa was good.
I was super intrigued. It was before we saw Larsa Pippen on the return of Real Housewives of Miami, which I watched. And as we know, Larsa was just, you know, best friends with Kim for many years. And it was always like, I felt like the internet was also people involved in this world would be like, stop trying to make Larsa happen. Like people were almost annoyed how much she was always just like peripherally with the girls or whatever. And so, but it was sort of interesting to hear her side. And so I know what my opinion was after hearing it, but why don't you guys tell me what you thought as you were talking to her, as far as like what happened with the friendship?
Well, I think first off, like Larsa Pippen's like was before the interview was like an illusion to me. You saw her photos all over online. You saw her in Daily Mail pretty much every day, but I don't think I ever heard her voice. I was like, what's this girl's deal? I don't know what's going on. And then when we reached out to do the interview, she was honestly on time, which you always respect, appreciate, and also super chill, like so cool,
so relaxed,
so nice, the so down to earth.
We made her move her camera around her house because there was no light, and we're like, can you move here? No, we can't hear. It's too echoey. Your house is too big. Okay, move to this other room. She was so cool, and I didn't expect that from her at all.
Yeah,
Did you guys get the interview, and why do you think she decided to talk to you guys?
That's a good question.
We had a mutual friend that kind of was our intermediary. Can we say who it was? Do you think they'd care? Shiraz.
Do you know who Shiraz is? You ever see that guy who drives around LA and he's got the Fame truck all around?
No, but I don't know. Sounds like a fun person.
Sounds like a person who'd be kind of messing with that circle.
Yes,
and
yes.
He's awesome, and he was the one that, you know, put us in contact, and she said okay. And so we sat down and had this amazing conversation. It was probably our first interview where someone really opened up and got us like wild press. I don't think I'd ever seen so much press on a podcast before that. And, you know, she dove into Kanye West and saying how he brainwashed the Kardashians against her. Things she said that I couldn't believe she was going against the Kardashians, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made that such a big interview.
I mean, from everything I gathered, it's like, I think that she was in one of those situations where her best friend, Kim, was really sharing everything with her. And like Kanye realized Kim was slipping away, and then Kanye was contacting her, and she was sort of in the middle, and then and then it's almost like, which is why it's so hard when you're in that position with your girlfriend and her spouse. And we've all girls have all been there, because it's like you might – you're hearing your friend cry and everything, and your advice might be like, get out, get out. And then they stay in it, and they're like embarrassed that they're still with this person that they, you know –
Vented about,
and everything. And so they'd rather not even see the friend that was consoling them all that time. And so then I think also what happened was then he was grasping at her to see if, like, how he could get in her brain to, like, have her convince. Like, I think it was just a messy thing like that. I don't think, like, Kanye was ever trying to sleep with her or vice versa. Like, I don't think it was
like
that.
She never made it sound like that. No. She made it sound like they had a good friendship. Her and Kanye is who I'm referring to, had a good friendship.
Yes.
And that he would talk to her about their dramas and this and that. And I agree with you. I think that it got nasty and Kanye looked at Kim and said, you need to get rid of her. She's the weak link. Not us, not how our relationship is doing. Get Larsa out. And I am curious if Larsa and Kim will reconnect now that Kanye's out of the picture.
I mean, listen, you know, Chris she's had close friends and not been friends with them. And then like Faye Resnick, for example, like they were super close during the OJ tragedy. And then there was a chunk of time when they weren't. And then now they are again. So it's like, I definitely think they're very forgiving. But I also think they don't really need friends. Mm-hmm. The girls don't need friends. They have sisters. And so when something happens, like with Jordan Woods, is that her name?
Yeah, Jordan Woods.
Because when I was talking about it, I kept talking about saying Jordan Sparks. And people were like, what are you talking about? So with Jordan Woods, you know, she and Kylie were best friends. But when that whole thing got, you know, awful messy with Tristan and everything, the friendship ended. And I just think like, okay, like Kylie was like so mature about it. She was just like, yeah, I think maybe we were like a little too codependent. Maybe it'll be, you know, it's okay. Like, let's just, and she moved on and found another best friend that now Stassi or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the end, she doesn't need any, like you always have a sister to hang out with.
Yeah.
And I think that's where like, if you're close with them or an employee of theirs, you just have to know you're not blood.
Blood is always going to be thicker
you're
than
not,
water.
And
that's
not,
like the theme of the show. That is the show.
Yeah.
Sisters over everything.
Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, and it doesn't mean that they don't wish you well or whatever, but it's like, people always want to think it's like so sinister if they cut someone out. And it's like, well, we were this. Sometimes when you're so close, you can't then step back and be like, well, instead of talking four times a day, let's keep our friendship, but only have lunch once a month. It just doesn't work like that. It's like, just because it's a platonic friendship, just like a romantic one, you sometimes just can't be in touch with, you know.
How do you stay friends with them? I mean, how do you have a long relationship? Like Lala. Lala Anthony has been friends with, you know, Kim for years. And I feel like it's a good friendship. Lala was just the red carpet.
I think she is friends with a lot of famous people. And I think she handles it really, really well. And I think she never oversteps the line.
There's a line now.
I think she has her own path. I don't think she would want to be the BFF. And it's like a perfect thing. And I don't think they talk 12 times a day.
And if you're not looking for the fame, that's a big thing too. Lala's got her own fame. She doesn't need to be a part of the Kardashian fame.
Right.
She's got her own thing going. And I think that's the difference. When you're there and you're on the peripheral, as you said before, there's going to be a point where they go, we don't need all these Klingons.
Yeah.
We're going to move on.
And I did kind of feel for Larsa in it, too, because I'm like, yeah, to the people at home, it looked like you were, you know, a thirsty girl that sounded just like her and spoke just like her. But she still had four kids. Like, that was still always going to be her priority. But it did kind of be like, God, why were you on, like, the show so much? Like, weren't you living in Miami? Like, how the hell did this? Like, it did seem like she dedicated a lot of her life to that friendship because Kim is who Kim is.
Do you think which was bothering Kim was her getting photographed all the time and her reaching out to the paparazzi and setting up shots, like being seen all over Daily Mail? Because she was, besides the sex tape, going down the same route as Kim Kardashian to become famous and become a figure.
I mean, I think with some of it is, like, I always remember there was like an assistant or something of Kim's, and it was like how to be Kim's assistant, and she was a girl that you saw on the show and she had a lot of style and started to get her own following and everything, and she did this big interview in some magazine. And then shortly after that, the relationship ended professionally. But now I think she kind of came back in the fold at a certain point. But it was sort of like, she probably approved that interview, Kim, but then the interview was too much like, this person's now their own thing, yet the whole interview is about me. And I think she probably was like, yeah, go for it. And then when she like sat back, she was like, you know what? Like, I'm not comfortable with this anymore.
I got to say, I liked Larsa so much more after this interview.
Yeah.
She's cool.
She was awesome. She was just so honest and open. And I loved every second of it. And I think that she gained a lot of respect from people after it.
I mean, she was really good on the Miami show. And they brought – and they were, like, coming after her, always trying to get her to talk about the Kardashians. They're like, did you sign an NDA or something? I don't know if she did, but she doesn't want to get shit. She doesn't want to say the wrong thing. She'd be put in, like, a position where the cameras were there. And she'd literally have to leave because the girls were so relentless, which I'm sure they were being pushed by the producers, to get her to talk about them. And she knew, like, you know, and that's happened to me, too. Like, when I was, like, hanging out with them a lot, I'd be so excited because I'd have my book out and this and that, and I'd be rarely on the red carpet. When I would, like, an OK magazine would be like, so, my gosh, Heather, it's so exciting. You know, you have your book out and da-da-da-da, like that. And then they'd, like, ask, like, one thing. Like, and then, oh, and you know, you're out with the Kardashians. Da-da-da. And then I'd, like, answer that. And then that would be the whole interview. Yep. And then I always felt like, to them, it looks like, oh, I'm using them for press.
Yeah.
But the reporter kind of tricks you into, you know, they make it feel like it's about you. And you're all like, and I'm sure they did that to Larsa all the time. And then, God forbid, you slip and speak too much. Now they're pissed. And you're like, but I was speaking so highly of you. Like, I wasn't even saying a bad thing.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, then later on, once I learned, I was like, people would be like, and is there anything we can't ask you? And I'd be like, yeah, don't ask me about Chelsea and don't ask me about the Kardashians. Because, like,
it doesn't go well for me.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, I look like the chasing, like, thirsty person when it's just like, and I think that would be my advice to people.
When you
like Larsa and stuff, like, just put it out there when you do the interviews. Just say, yeah.
When you were close with the Kardashian clan, did you have to sign an NDA at all to become friends with them? Or when you went into the house, no NDA?
Never any NDA ever.
That would get weird.
But it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, we both started, like, Chelsea was on, we were on E! First, and I was hired to be a writer on the show and appear on it. And then their show started maybe like 5 months after our show started. But I was just friendly with them anyway. So I was, like, going to Mother's Day and, like, you know, like, at their house. And, like, we were just, like, friends. And I just thought they were, like, so fun. And I was kind of in between the ages of Chris and Kim and Courtney. So it was, like, I was kind of friends with, like, all of them. And it was just, yeah. And so then – and then the show happened. And, like, we would – they would always come on our show. And we were always doing E! Things and upfronts and parties and all that stuff. And then – yeah, and then times pass, and you're not seeing each other in a work environment, and it's like it's all good.
Yeah.
What we just did, too? We got you to talk about Chelsea and the Kardashians. That's our voodoo magic right there.
Yeah. but it's all good, but I like not being as close to them because they are
not so much
in
stress,
the news
not
so much, and I do like giving my honest opinion and analyzing it, and because like this, like what we just said, the Larsa, I like taking pop culture stuff like that, like a Larsa friendship breakup with Kim, but then putting it to a place that anyone at home can relate to. Like any married woman or anybody in a serious relationship has been there where they've either been the girlfriend that knew too much or you shared too much, you know, and then your friendship suffered because of it. Like,
I will say this about the Kardashians, especially doing what we all do. You know, from my experiences, from your experiences, people always ask me when I tell them what I do, like, have you ever met the Kardashians? And I'll say this. They're one from my experience, at least, they're one of the best celebrities. They handle it very well. They're good to the photographers. They're good to the fans. Like, they, in my opinion, like, they're great. Like, people are like, no, Kim's awesome.
Always.
They're good Kim people.
Awesome. And like that's, you know, the other thing is that
I talk shit about people, but like, Kim's actually a good person. Like, no, she's genuinely cool. She's chill. They're fun. Like, they're great people. We cover them a lot. Like, we've had the bodyguard, Kim's and Kanye's bodyguard on. We've had Larsa on. And
what was the scoop on the bodyguard?
Oh, the bodyguard was good. The bodyguard was
now, is this the bodyguard that they, there was like some controversy they were going after?
Yes. He was like he's an actor now, but he talked about when he like first came into the scene, he didn't know much about like what, you know, was the deal with Kanye, and Kanye was just kind of being an asshole to him and would get in the elevator day one and be like, push the button. He's like, I don't know what floor we're going to. He's like, well, why didn't you figure out before you got in here? He's like, I literally just met you 4 seconds ago. So there was a lot of like just these little stories about where a glimpse into what Kanye's really like behind the scenes. Mm. And he having to pick Kanye up off the side of the freeway at 2 a.m. because Kanye decided to have a meltdown and go out for a walk. And so now this guy is, his job is to go find Kanye in the middle of the night in New York. I mean, there was just story after story where you saw the real side of Kanye. And I think that's why that episode.
And what is your opinion knowing all that you know?
I mean, of just Kanye in general?
Of Kanye in general.
I think he just has a really big personality. I think he's a hard person to deal with. I think he's a huge artist. And I think sometimes you get into these artists where they're all about themselves. And I think that's what Kanye is. I think he's all about himself.
Mm.
And his persona.
I remember covering Kanye when he was in New York and he was doing the Fashion Week and he was performing at the Garden. And it was all week. And like you said, it sounds weird. Like there's a lot of musicians out there. There's a lot of – I hate to call some of these music acts artists.
Yeah.
But I actually do feel like he's an artist because he does work very hard on it. So when he had the Fashion Week, he was going to the gym around like 10 in the morning or 8:30 in the morning every day. He'd go to the gym in Equinox in Soho.
Yeah.
And he'd go there for about an hour and a half. And then after that, he'd go to an office in Soho, work on the Fashion Week till about 8 p.m. at night. Then at 8 p.m., race over to the Garden and then perform for a sold-out show at the Garden. And then did it like 3 nights in a row. I was like, this guy's working his ass off. And I was like, I mean, is he insane? Yeah, he's insane. But he does work
hard.
He's
a hard worker. We all know that he has his own mental issues that he deals with. And I don't want to downplay any of that.
Sure.
I think that stuff is obviously very important. But I think that he's a hard personality to deal with on the outside of it.
Yeah, definitely.
For anyone around him.
Yeah.
Not a bad guy, though, from my experience. I mean, listen, I like to talk shit. But he's actually, like, he's from all the rappers I've been around, like, a lot of rappers have big entourages. Kanye's usually, like, just him sometimes with a bodyguard. Like, sometimes he's just, like, him in a Mercedes car, like, in the backseat, just jumps out. Like,
and he did used to get mad at that same bodyguard because the bodyguard would be in between him and the paparazzi. He's like, get out of the way. They need their photos. I need them to get their photos so that I can be on the magazines.
You know, that's – did you see when he did that about when he was with Julia Fox for a minute?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, what is this? And someone caught the fact that he was like, get out of the shot.
I need to
I'm coming to meet my girl.
Yeah.
What did you think of that whole weird thing?
That was weird. I mean, that was just a rebuttal, right, to Kim and Pete. That's all that was I need to make sure that I'm not looking like the loser in this situation. We're separating. She's now seen off with her SNL boyfriend, and I don't want to look like the loser. So I'm going to find someone and mold her and get everyone to talk about
it. He also put that out himself because that photo – I was in Miami. I was actually the first one on the scene. I was in Miami for a month, and it was Carbone right before New Year's roughly. And I got a tip that Kanye was there. If you walk into Carbone in Miami, we all know a lot of celebrities go to Carbone. It's brand new in Miami. There's the regular people on the right. There's a bar as soon as you walk in. And after the bar is a private room. I walked in, and there's a bodyguard in front of like the door. So we all knew like Kanye was in there. One other photographer showed up outside. And it's me and the other photographer. I'm like, did you get him going in? No. Okay. And we saw the car, Kanye's car. The guy said, yeah, I'm picking up Kanye. So all of a sudden when Kanye's going to come out, the car goes to the back of the restaurant. So I race to the back of the restaurant, me and the photographer. Kanye's photographer comes out. Oh, it's two of you. Guys, we're not going to do shots tonight. I got the shot. I'm like, well, we're here too. Like, we're working. Like, we want to get the shot. Come on, guys. I'm going to get the shot. He's all right. You know what? Stay right here. What they do, they sneak him out back out the front. But all of a sudden the photo gets released exclusively to TMZ. They get the photo and they knew who she was. How does a photo of them like – showing her face, and they knew who that is. Like, oh, that's Julia Fox. Like, they just knew who she was right away. And he was with the photographer. Like, they placed it out.
Clearly, he wanted the press.
He wanted the press.
And we are not against working with paparazzi. We're not against working with the media.
Like, yeah.
By all means, do your thing. Keep the narrative going. I think it works for everyone involved, right? Like, I'm not against it.
And I had some connections to Julia, and I reached out just out of curiosity. Hey, did you guys – and she was like, yeah, that's what we did. We leaked the photo. The funny part about that thing, about that night was – so Pete and Kim were in town for New Year's Eve, and I reached out to someone who I know in the Kim camp, and I said, hey, just a heads up, Carbone's the hottest restaurant. Kanye's here right now with a girl, or like with some people. Don't come to Carbone. Like, it's going to be you think a guy like me would want to see that kind of clash. However, I'm trying to get in with these people, and I want to give them the heads up saying like – so – and they said, actually, we're ordering food from Carbone. So they had their bodyguard pick up Kim and Pete. Sent a bodyguard to pick up food from Carbone. But can you imagine if they all came and saw each other? I mean, that would have been an amazing night.
You ruined it for the rest of
us. I know. But, dude, and I thought it maybe helped me out, but it didn't do shit. Yeah.
Oh, you know what I was thinking of is how she said how she didn't eat food for whatever, any carbs for 3 weeks
Alpha
or whatever.
Dress for the Met Gala.
Yes, but then I realized, wasn't it 3 weeks ago? Maybe it was longer, that she was in the gray dress at the Hulu thing, and then they went to the Johnny and Vinny's and they had those Diet Coke photos.
Yes, you know, yes, the Diet Coke that. Yeah.
Well, I guess she didn't eat any of that pizza.
No.
Yeah.
No. She just stared at it.
Stared at it, drooling.
Just stared.
Just drank the Diet Coke. Yeah. I was watching, I follow an Instagram account called House of Habit, and she's like hardcore covering the Johnny Depp trial. Mm-hmm. And she was noticing that like the new, her new PR person was like, she zoomed in on him, like talking to the court photographer, then handing these notes to the lawyer. Like, it's interesting how that even works in a court of law, like to get, because she's been getting such, the crowd is not for Amber Heard.
Oh, sure. Not at all. No. We have one of our friends has actually been going to court. We keep having her come on. Her name's Danielle. She's been going to the court, and so we will get little updates from her, like biweekly, of like, okay, tell us what we didn't see on camera.
Yeah.
Give us those reports, because that's what we really want to know is like, when they come in, do Amber and Johnny ever cross paths? What is it like outside? You know, what are these fans like? Oh, they're bringing alpacas outside for Johnny. Like the weirdest
stuff. When
did
he say he was into alpacas?
I don't know.
I'm confused about the alpaca thing.
One. People are dressing like Captain Jack Sparrow trying to go to a court. I mean, it's insane. It's fun. It's an event.
This is the best soap opera you could ever ask for, right?
Yeah.
Like there is no bigger court case in the last 10 years.
But it feels
this
like
one is wild.
Johnny's getting confident. Like he's, I feel like he's having, I wouldn't say enjoying it.
Oh, he's enjoying it.
But I think he is.
He's 100% enjoying
it. Well,
he's
like laughing.
He's laughing. He's
you
trying
know why? Because he's like, oh, my image, my reputation has already been ruined. So I'm going to take her down with me. I really think that was the whole point of this whole
I really feel
case.
Like he went for it thinking, what do I have to lose? I have everything to gain.
Yep.
I have nothing to lose.
Part of me wonders after watching that what's that show that was just on Netflix? The Anna show, the Anna Duvall,
Anna Delvey.
Anna Delvey. Yeah. Now with the fashion that she wore in the courtroom and how important that was, like I wonder if Amber's trying to do the same thing. Do the Anna?
She just keeps copying what he's wearing.
Yeah, she's copying what
I know,
he's wearing.
But it's pretty insane that we're calling this out and she's still doing it.
It's crazy. Okay, now you had a juicy one with Kristen Doty.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened right after when?
Right after she was fired from Vanderpump Rules.
Okay, so how did you get that one?
I don't remember how we got that. I'm trying to think.
We just reached out. And then, you know what?
Because that was a big story. You got to remember
when
she got fired.
Yeah.
That was a huge, huge story. And so we were like, you know what? We keep breaking these big stories. You want to come on and talk for the first time? We'll give you the platform to tell your side of the story. And she came on.
We also said that we can't come in. We won't come with a bias, but we're going to be asking.
We're going to ask you tough questions.
We're going to ask you tough questions, but we're not going to come with an angle. You know, we're not trying to – it's not gotcha, but we'll give you a platform. We're just curious like how it all goes down from – explain to us what happened. Explain to us how it is when you get fired from Bravo. Like how do you find out? Like everyone's got – you know, not everyone's
got fired. She said she found out literally 5 minutes before the world did. Like they had already leaked it out to whatever news site broke it. So she was reading it and then 5 minutes later the whole world knew she was fired. Her big thing was, look, I get why they were so upset. I just wish I could have learned my lesson on television and I could have been an informative broadcast for everyone involved. She's like, I just wish that this could have been a learning moment for everyone rather than just fire me, get rid of me, and now I'm done for.
You know, it was just so unfortunate for so many reasons because it was just the world was just – and then it was – wait, did they get fired before COVID or like during COVID? No, it was right
before.
It was right before, but then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. So like – there wasn't even that opportunity to film any of them doing this.
She was wonderful. You know the crazy story that we just heard the other day? That Meghan Markle checked out our podcast.
Checked out? What do you mean?
She listened to our podcast.
Oh, she listened to it. I thought you meant she checked out her own podcast.
No, this like blew my mind that Meghan Markle. So we had Simon Rex. We had Simon Rex.
She must
on.
Be listening to Juicy Scoop too, then.
Of course, I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
No, we had Simon Rex on a while ago, and he had this whole story that he told us about how so they used to co-star on some show together, and then there was rumors that they dated. Well, right before the royal wedding, one of the big tabloids reached out to him and said, we'll pay you 70,000, I don't know if it was dollars, euros, pounds, I don't know what it was, 70,000 to lie and say you slept with her. And he came on our podcast and said, I wouldn't do it, broke the story. she apparently listened to the podcast and wrote him a thank you note about the whole thing and saying, thank you for standing by, you know, your morals and not telling these lies just for a quick paycheck. And I thought,
well, also
that, like, blew
it really,
my mind.
Also, that kind of info really kind of validates the hell that they were put through with these tabloids and chasing the stories and chasing the father and all that other stuff. I read just somewhere that one of her Netflix shows, didn't they have a podcast, she and Harry?
They did. And did it ever come to anything?
I remember there was like
another show.
We thought that Harry and Oprah thing, they were working on something.
But her Netflix show just got canned, right?
Yeah, it was like a childhood thing. What do you mean Netflix is hurting?
They're losing subscribers, like,
oh,
left and right.
Give me the scoop. I don't know.
What? You guys don't know about
this? They should have asked me to be in Netflix with a joke comedy festival.
No,
the only
HBO
person
HBO Max is, like, blowing up, and Netflix is losing tons of subscribers. And so it's been a whole story. I personally don't agree. I love Netflix. I don't know why. I think it's kind of like that herd mentality where people hear, like, oh, Netflix isn't cool, so we're all going to say it's not cool and start unsubscribing. But they've lost a lot of subscribers because people share their passwords.
Oh, okay.
And so the subscriber number is going down and down, and it's hurting them, and they're having to cancel a lot of big shows that they were planning on.
Interesting. Well, you know, there is a lot, and it's like one of those things where you sometimes have to evaluate, you know, how many things you're going to subscribe to. Mm-hmm. And HBO Max, I do like. I also like Hulu. I just kind of go, what's the hot thing? I mean, I'm fortunately not in a place where I have to cancel or steal someone's password. But, like, I don't blame people for doing – like, I get it. You know, I'm sure if I was, like, 22 or something, I'd be down for doing that. But, that's – okay. Yeah, because they were supposed to have all these big deals.
They were going to spend a ton of money on those, too. That was, I guess, supposed to kind of –
you know,
like,
I have to say, and I'm sorry, Megan, because you're listening – but I think that's probably the wise thing. I mean, it kind of just pissed me off because at that time, like, you know, everyone's getting millions of dollars to do a podcast and a celebrity's getting million. I'm like, why? Under what basis? Like, come up with content. Well, when were you a producer before, Megan? Like, you're a pretty girl and you're a decent actress and I think you're a smart woman. But, like, I'm sorry. Are you Shondaland? Like, why would you give someone that? And him, too.
So what?
Like,
why
would you give two of those people to go, oh, you have a whole list of things that you can do.
What is your opinion on Meghan Markle? Because she gets a lot of shit. Like, a lot.
I'm a fan of the fact that she has an awful half-sister. I can relate to awful dysfunctional sibling relationships and jealous siblings, and for that I feel like,
but do you think she deserves the hate that she gets around the world? Like, is
she does
I,
not
I've never met
the
her personally. No. I don't know what she's like behind closed doors. I hear all these stories. I don't know if they're true stories. You know, we're sitting here talking about how the press was trying to manipulate stories to make her look worse.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think she's a pleasant girl. You know, I think she had nice parents. She went to, like, an all-girl Catholic high school, which I went to a very similar one, so I related to that. She's an L.A. girl. She was raised here. And honestly, I wouldn't want to live in London either. What happens when you're raised in Southern California is it's very hard for you to live anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And that's why I tell people, be careful where you want to send your kid at 18. If they're Southern California pussies, they are not going to be able to – most of them will not be able to love and thrive on the East Coast. And that's just a fact.
Loving her – like, I felt like the world loved her, and then the world hated her. And I just don't know what
happened.
What was it?
I don't think it's the world. I mean, I think that people still – like, felt for her, but I think the truth is she got in that situation, and it was, like, you don't, all of a sudden you went from going to Soho House and Soho and Nobu in Malibu, doing some TV, maybe having a hot rendezvous with the prince, planning the wedding, and now you're in a cold, musty place, and your girlfriends aren't there, and you aren't acting, and I just think it was I think it's a big bummer. It's like it's the old princess in the castle. It's not that great. Just not that great. And so in that, she may have then been struggling, which then reflected on the people around her judging her. And I think she kind of realized, I don't want this life. I don't want this life, but I want you. And he was just like, okay, what do we have to do? I guess, you know.
He had to have been miserable too.
And then, okay, I guess we have to leave, you know. And then people blamed that for how could you break up the brothers, you know? Like, it's the why. And people always think that, too, about boys. You know, like it's the wife that takes the boy from the mom, and it's the, you know. So I think that people were just so sad because they thought saw them as at least they had each other when Diana died.
Sure.
And now, who was it? Because they were okay with Kate, so it must be her that split them. And there's so many theories of why they're not close right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
that part is sad.
She's not completely innocent. Like, she did have a little bit of strategy to become the star she is. I mean, we had Jezel on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. He's a really famous photographer.
And he was dealing with her. I mean, directly. I mean, they were
set up photos.
And this is when she was
she was an actress at the time.
She was an actress.
She wasn't dating him, I don't think, right?
Yeah, but she was like she was working the system to get to that level.
I kind of admire that because I didn't, and I'm here talking to you guys.
You're welcome.
I didn't. I never screwed anyone. I didn't date the right person. I didn't like nothing. Yeah. And like I kind of admire people that or kind of figure it out. And, you know, you call it a shortcut, whatever, call it being thirsty. It's like, even if you did sleep with someone to get the part, like I always say, like, where's the women? When will the people come out and go, I agreed to sleep with Weinstein or whoever.
Yeah.
Because I knew that was the only way to get this part. Once I got the part, I never had to sleep with another gross pig again because everyone saw what a good actress I was. But how was anyone going to see what a good actress I was until I got this platform? Mm-hmm. So I used what I had and I, you know, said in our father and I got fucking through it. There's a million women like that. No one will say it. And like, I'm waiting for that woman on her deathbed or whatever that like embraces it.
Oh, sure.
Says it.
So many women. No, switching subjects a little bit. Mm-hmm. Harvey Weinstein. A lot of women came forward saying, oh, I said no. He came on to me. I said no. There's a lot of girls who said yes
and
actually slept. And there's a few of them like who got big roles who actually slept with them. I used to mess with Harvey
Weinstein. Well, that's what I was always saying. Like, no, there's no way that every single person that he went for resisted. There were enough along the way that complied.
Sure.
And they're not bad people, whatever. And it might have been a really horrible experience for them. But – you know, but also they might have gotten something great and might have known about it and as being a step to get to their goal quicker and didn't really care and didn't see it as, you know, whatever.
I wish those women came forward.
That's what I'm talking about.
I know.
Those type of people.
I want to hear their perspective on another angle, and I don't judge them for it.
Right.
I sort of get it because the fear of how to provide for your family or your life and you have
or
this opportunity.
This is a hard industry. It really
or just
is.
Wanting to get a part. When you
wanting
like,
to get ahead.
I mean, when
you
are trying to get those parts and it's the only way, you know, this before you can make it in podcasting. Like when you, the only way was to get a casting agent or someone or an agent to say yes to you.
Yeah.
And you hear so many no's, and you're getting older and you're like, what is the chance of me now ever like getting to that place that I imagined? Well, this is going to jump from here to here. So do you want to take the jump or do you want to like hope that someone's going to say yes in the proper way? Or maybe your friend is like, this is what I did. Should do it too. You know, all right, fine.
I used to fuck with Harvey Weinstein all the time.
When were you guys sleeping together?
So I didn't sleep with him. I wasn't his type. I tried. Trust me, if it would have helped me out, I would have. But he had an office in Tribeca right next to the Greenwich Hotel.
Just kidding.
Yeah, right? But his office was right next to the Greenwich Hotel. They do the Tribeca Film Festival right there. And I would always be outside the Greenwich Hotel because a lot of celebrities would be there.
Yeah.
Every morning, 8:30 in the morning, 9 a.m., he'd always be outside talking to a new girl. This went on all the time, like a model-ish type girl and talking to a girl. And I always kind of walk by and hear him what he's saying. He'd talk about movies. And he was known as an asshole. You know, like everyone – it was kind of like the theme about him. He was not a pleasant guy. But I used to just think it was funny to fuck with him. So every day if I saw him talking to a different girl, I'd walk up and go, I'm sorry to interrupt. Mr. Weinstein, I just want to let you know I'm a huge fan. I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to say your movies inspire me. Thank you for doing what you do. Keep doing what you do. I'm sorry to interrupt. And just kiss his ass in front of me. Like, he turned to the nicest guy and go, thank you so much. Thank you. And I would just
But he must have just loved
that. Oh, he loved it because I'd make his ego so big.
Yeah.
I'd make him look good in front of the girl. Like,
yeah.
I did it to him probably about 20 times. This guy never caught on. And it was just so funny to keep fucking with him. Every time, even the paparazzi be like, dude, you're going to fuck with him again? Like, yeah, sure. And I would just keep messing with him. And it was like he never caught on. Like the same guy keeps coming up to him like, oh, my God, your movies inspire me. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing.
I mean, that would be really funny if – okay, did you see that movie? It was a couple years ago, and I just came across it. Maybe it was Netflix. Rest in peace. It was called, like, The Assistant or something, and it was a smaller film, and it was basically, like, a Weinstein character. You never see him, but this girl gets a job as an assistant, and she realizes he's not interested in her sexually, but then there's, like, and there's two guys. So she's, like, the third assistant. There's the two guys and then her. And then there, she starts to see that there's these other girls that are coming through. And he's also, like, mean and, like, yelling at them and stuff. And they're all like, oh, he's horrific. But then she kind of sees what's going on, that, like, she has to, they show her just cleaning, like, the cum off the, you know, couches, the counter, whatever, and, like, what's going on. And this other girl's like, yeah, I guess I'm supposed to be the fourth assistant, but I'm supposed to stay – I'm supposed to be doing my work at this hotel or whatever. Like, it's just very – it was done really well, but it was that kind of thing. But I'm saying, in that movie, that would have been funny if they showed him and he actually hired someone to be that person that does that. Like, honestly, people, guys listening to this show, that would be kind of a good thing to do on a date.
Yeah, of course.
Like, hire someone. So you're on a date.
Just to run up to you and act like you're the hottest shit ever, or what?
Or even, like, let's just say you're, like, an attorney or what, and you're, like, dating this girl. And you just have somebody walk up and be like, you know, Mr. Jones, I don't know if you remember me, you know, whatever. Let's say you were a professor somewhere or something before you became an attorney, whatever. Like, someone could be like, I don't know if you remember me. You know, I went to the school. You're the greatest guy. And I remember the advice you said. Like, just something like that where you're having dinner and you're like, oh, my God, he's so – I mean, this is a sociopathic thing for someone to do. This is like a weird
job. Yeah, but we could start up a business here, guys.
But, like, talk about, like, turning on someone and having them think, like, wow, and then finding out later, like, oh, my God, that guy was like a hired fan.
Your ego.
It's called hired admirer.
That's actually not bad.
I like it.
Yeah.
People hire paparazzi for themselves. Yeah. I mean, hired admirer, hired fans.
Yeah, hired admirer, like, of just someone being, like, almost like in tears, like, you just got me through it. Yes, like, you're...
This person is so lucky to even know you. Like,
yeah.
Good luck on your date.
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just, like, if I ever run into you, I just have to tell you when I met you at my first job working at your whatever store...
Can you cut this out so we can use this as our business model?
Yes, let's do it.
Let's go to Shark Tank now. Yeah.
Okay, so tell me about the Brooke Hogan, because that was one of the first family reality shows, mm-hmm. kind of like, wasn't that like almost before Kardashians, but after Osbournes? Like,
Yeah, because it was when MTV was like at its height with big reality shows.
And it was VH1. Hulk Hogan and his wife had been married for a long time for Hollywood. He's this like famous... super tan, like, wrestler mm-hmm. character. And then he had the two kids, Brooke and the brother.
Nick.
And so tell me a little bit, like, because obviously that show ended and their life got in. Catch everyone
up. Yeah, so, you know, Brooke then had a spinoff show. Brooke Knows Best. It was Hogan Knows Best, then Brooke Knows Best. And that was, like, her way to stay in the reality world.
And she was trying to follow her, get a music career, and see her journey, become a musician out of her father's legacy.
So we had her stop by, and we literally reached out for her. And she, DM'd her on Instagram.
Yeah, I DM'd her.
And she responded and said... Sure, no problem. Like, oh, come on. I just don't think anyone had reached out to her in a little bit. And so she was happy to come on.
Like a year ago or what?
She came on six months ago, maybe.
Okay, yeah. So now it's been like 10 years since she's been on TV more. Years. And what's she up to?
It's funny. She does remodeling for Airbnbs. So she comes in and she's got like the biggest Airbnb remodeling site like in the country. She'll come in and flip your Airbnb in a day and make it ready to rent out.
Oh,
and
it's that's been kind huge of a good idea.
Her. Yes.
Yeah, because someone who doesn't have a lot of like decorating sense but mm-hmm. has some like cabin, she can make all like millennial fun.
And she is that's a good making idea. Tons of money doing
oh,
this.
Oh, good for her.
She did have a weird transition for a while because we talked to her and she said, you know, when I left reality TV, I didn't know what I was doing. I was very lost. I was like, I went from being super famous to not having anything. And she goes, I started just being a cocktail waitress like at a JW Marriott hotel. And she goes, I liked it because I got to just communicate with people. She's like, I've never talked about this. No one ever knew that I was a waitress, but she did it for a year. And she's like, people would come in and they almost wouldn't believe it was her because they're like, why is Brooke Hogan serving me?
I don't want to be rude to Brooke Hogan, but like, she's so unmemorable looking because I just see tan, blonde,
like 6 foot tall, blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty and like attractive, but I'm just saying there's so many girls like look like her. I bet. A lot,
but that's California. She wasn't in California. She was at where was she?
But I'm saying like a
Florida, or Nashville. Then she went to Nashville.
But do you think she did get recognized a lot?
She said she's like, yeah, people would come in and be like, what the hell are you doing here? And she would say, I'm just starting my life over. And she was so honest and real. And that was probably my favorite interview because she was honest. And she was like, I didn't have this like celebrity air about me. I just had to move along with my life and realize I wasn't a reality star anymore. And this was what Hand was dealt with.
Well, I mean, I'm always fascinated what an addiction fame is. Fame is absolutely an addiction. And in this reality world of the last 20 years, it's like this never existed before, where someone that never tried to be an actor or, you know, pursued, you know, anything, like even a sports person pursued sports to become an NFL player. What like this is just like you could be just a mom and someone's like, hey, I'm auditioning for the show and they want to meet another friend of mine. Next thing you know, 12 years later, you're, you know, Teresa Giudice on Real Housewives of New Jersey and your whole life has been under a microscope. Your kids have been raised on it. You're fighting with your sister-in-law. Like you and your husband went to jail. Like you just kind of go, what would that life been? What would she look like? Probably not as good. What would her personality be like? Because it's just like all of a sudden just gets handed to you and you're like on the cover of magazines and like it's just such a bizarre thing.
I think Kid Rock said it best about Pam Anderson when he was dating her. He said the hardest thing in Hollywood is to be famous with no money. So, I mean, Pam Anderson's now on Broadway. I mean, hopefully she's doing okay. She's doing well, but like she's been through a couple husbands and
couple. I think she's had like five.
It's tough. I mean, it's hard to. But the thing is, when you go back to work, like remember a few years ago, the guy who was in the Cosby Show?
Yeah,
who
worked at
Trader Joe's. I mean,
that's not easy. A lot of people don't realize, like, when you've hit that certain level of fame, doing, I don't want to say quote unquote a normal job because that's just a job, you know? But to be able to do that and realize that you're going to get recognized every day and people are going to criticize you or scrutinize you for that job, I think that's the hard part for these people that have had some level of success, like camera.
I interviewed Corey Feldman, which, you know, he's, kind of a different person, whatever. But one of the things he said, and it was just like, people are so awful. Like, oh, I'm sorry that I had a hit series from the time that I was 9 to 14. How many hit series have you had? Mm-hmm. So now you are going to point and laugh that, like, I'm working at a restaurant or I'm working a regular job or I'm, you know, like, credit. how many stars really have had, like, series after series after series? Like, only a handful, like Courtney Cox, Michael J. Fox, like, not that many can, like, hit lightning 3 and 4 times. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Like, that's, like, it.
Yeah.
So it's, like, if you have it, you know, you get it, like, embrace it, love it, you know, a backup plan and, like, but people are, exactly, people are, like, rude about it, you know?
I think that's why I liked Brooke's interview so much was because she didn't have that air about her and she was so wonderful. Have you had a guest that, like, completely shocked you? Because that's how I felt. I was shocked by the Brooke interview. Have you had someone that walked in, you had one perception of them, they came in, sat, chatted with you, and you left being like, I did not expect that from them?
I mean, I'm always, like, everybody's always really nice. If they agree to come, sometimes they're a little nervous. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are, like, a little odd. Like, I don't know if they're, like, just nervous because I'm a comedian or they're just not used to doing stuff like this. Sometimes that's a challenge, but people are always like, you know, very nice. So I'm never I'm always expecting like the best. Mm-hmm. And I usually get it. Like if they're willing to come to Woodland Hills, you know.
Ow, you are way out here.
Yeah. Not from here. I'm like, this is where Hollywood is.
Woodland Hills. And that's another thing like that's happened with like my life. I was telling Annie the other day, like, so I've always grown up here, right? And then throughout my whole life of working in Hollywood, I always had to leave an hour before you know, get, and then when I had the Chelsea Lately job, hour before, you know, no, all the parties were down there, nothing ever was here. And just the other day, we were going to meet with some from some of old friends from Chelsea Lately. And I was like, oh, they're coming from the West Side. And I guess, well, let me figure out a place to meet in Sherman Oaks. And my other friend is like, why don't we just meet at Joey's in Woodland Hills? And I'm like, you mean like near me? Like I would only have to drive 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. It never even occurred to me that I would choose the easy place. Because I'm always like, oh, I don't want to put anyone out. Oh, I wouldn't want any. Now I'm like, yeah, you come here, forget it. Like, I'm just like, and then don't do the show. Like, yeah. And it's just so great because I was the one that was in my car my whole life, you know, and people
that's,
being
that's
like,
success for you, right?
I know.
There.
It's like, hey, there's Target across the street. You know, it's pretty pleasant, but it's true. It's just like, so that's when people, and even in the beginning of it, I'd be like, okay, I'll come to this place or I'll, you know, go to our office that we have, like, you know, for the network down. Now it's been like 2.5 years since I've ever done that. Now I'm just like, whatever. It just is.
Is that shade because I had to drive 3 hours to get here today?
Not shade. I'm saying.
I'm just kidding.
I'm saying I appreciate that you did. No, I appreciate that you did. But I'm also like, yeah, it is kind of a sign. It is a moment of success.
When
I'm
like, you flew across the country for this.
I don't have to be. I'm sure I'm the only thing that you came for. Yeah, that is really cool. Now, tell me about last story. Tell me about the Jody Sweetin thing.
We can go with that.
Jody, I mean, we go for people that I find interesting, people who I think will also be real and also speak. I don't give a shit about like the character you play. Like, tell me how you got the job. Like,
yeah,
tell
me too.
Like I don't, I want to be like, I want it to be like we're at a bar hanging out. Like, and I also want you to talk like how it just be real, you know, like, as you know, cause you do it on your podcast. It's like when you watch Live with Kelly, when you watch the Today Show, it's not a real interview. Like, they're performing.
It's
the
scripted,
lights are on. The
they
script's
know
on
the questions. The
so,
whole thing.
Like, us was, like, really just breaking down, like, where were you? Like, how did you get the job? And
or how
also,
did you find out you were fired from the job? What was it, you know, what was your contract like?
But then also
like,
very curious about with her, stuff. Like, how her relationship is with the Olsen twins. And she's like, listen, like, and she's totally cool with it. Like, we work together. We, you know, it was a long time ago, but then we just – you know, we're cool. I don't have their phone number still. Like, if I saw them, it'd be totally fine. But I get it. They went on to do other stuff. They don't owe us anything. Like, it was just – it was nice to hear her perspective on it.
I think that's – I saw something funny the other day because I guess it was maybe Brittany was on Lala's show, Brittany Cartwright, married to Jax. And someone asked, like, oh, do you speak to Lisa Vanderpump anymore, you know, since she and Jax were let go from the show? And she's like, something like, no, I mean, I really wish she would have, you know, stayed in touch. And the person that posted about it after said, like, raise your hand if your boss who fired you stayed in touch with you. And I was like, that's really
true.
Interesting. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I mean, their show ended. So it wasn't like, and it wasn't like they were the bosses, but in any situation, like, you know, you might have worked at a Haagen-Dazs ice cream shop when you were 17 and now you're 30. Are you still keeping in touch with the people from your Saturday shift?
It's
like,
true.
I mean, even though it's a show, and I just think, though, for people that when you're a celebrity, they want to delve deeper into, like, what happened, why, you know, and it's like, yeah, we got along when we saw each other all the time. And mm-hmm. after that, you know, or whatever, even if you did really get along and you saw each other, you know, 3 times a year, and then it might turn into twice a year. Then it's
And I think
now it's never.
I think
you know,
with the Olsen twins, they just became so successful,
yeah,
so young. They kind of went in one direction, and then you got Jody, who still hangs out with Cameron, and still, you know, was hanging out with Bob Saget, till you know, and she was still hanging out with the other side. So I think,
and then they went on to do the show,
the Fuller House.
Fuller House.
Is that still happening?
No, it's not. It didn't get picked up. I think it was ran 2 seasons, but it didn't get picked
up.
On
Netflix.
But here's the crazy part is where she's like, I'm still like, you think Full House, which was definitely a successful show. No one could doubt that. But she's still like, I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to pay my bills, how I'm going to get my kids through. Because she's like, I rent. Like, I don't own.
She goes, I clip coupons like everyone else because the residual money from that show is not what you would expect.
Right.
She goes, yeah, I still get a check. it's nothing that's going to keep me going in a you know, this an LA lifestyle. I have to keep working. I have to keep pushing forward. And yes, I clip coupons. And I loved that
and
answer.
And I'm sorry if I am mixing up like 90s kid stars.
Stephanie Tanner.
No, but did she have a drug issue?
She did have a rough time. Yeah, she had a rough time.
I could be wrong, but I think it was
so
pretty
in between
hardcore.
The two, she struggled, got clean, and then they asked her back on the Fuller
yes,
House.
Yes, she got her life together. She is in a wonderful place in her life
Yeah,
now.
She's doing good.
She's doing really good.
Well, you guys, you're doing good.
Oh. We will know we're doing good when we don't have to drive.
Yeah.
Yes, so true. Tell everybody where they can listen and follow you guys and all that stuff.
You can find the Hollywood Raw podcast anywhere you obviously download podcasts. You can find us on social media at Hollywood Raw. We're on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and YouTube and all the social media platforms. But
yeah, you can find me at Adam Glynn, G-L-Y-N, Dax Holt, H-O-L-T. We're on it. I'm still running around. You want to see my videos? I got my own YouTube thing called Adam's Apple where, I'm still running around chasing celebrities. So you see my celebrity content. I got Jeff Bezos the other day. I got, it's fun stuff.
How
it's
lucky
cool.
is Lauren Sanchez?
Oh, she loves right? it. She loves
did
the attention.
You, did you know her when she was here in LA?
I met her a few times over the years. I mean, she was cool. I liked her, just score.
How is she the chosen one? Right?
Well, yeah, it's because you got together as couples and you got in there.
She seemed pretty nice. She loves the attention.
Totally.
I can say that. Like, she smiled. She came out. Bezos loves the attention as well. Like, this is the second time I've been around him. And you can tell, like, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
His security, like, not as big as you might think. Like, I've been around Elon Musk security where he's got, like, Navy SEALs. It's wild how Elon Musk travels. Like, I mean, Elon Musk travels in, at least in New York City, he's in the cheapest Tesla. And then his other security cars, just to not bring attention, they're driving like four Tauruses like around. Like, they're following him, but you wouldn't even know they're security. And they race him in, race him out wherever he goes. But Bezos was like, I'm out. Like, he said to the paparazzi, like, their security at least said, like, this is where we're going to next. Like,
what about his glow up?
Dude, he's.
He's ripped.
He's
now.
A monster,
what
dude.
What is he doing?
He's doing something. I want to know whatever cocktail they're shooting it into. I mean, he looks good. I mean, he looks great. He looks
good for
he's
him.
He's solid. He's not, but he knows he gets it.
And what's your status dating?
Wifed up.
You're wifed up, and are you?
I've got a wife as well. We've been married 14 years now since high school.
Congrats to both of you.
Thanks.
Yeah, doing good.
Thank you.
All right.
You still want us to be a couple, don't you?
I do have fantasies about these things, but I think you would probably be more successful if you were, but it's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
But good luck
we'll
to you.
We'll take it.
Yeah.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank
Thanks
you
for coming
for
all
us.
The way to Woodland Hills. No, thank you.